ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we're continuing with chapter 13 from the Madhya Lila entitled The Lord's Dancing at Ratha Yatra. Text 59. Only a person who has received the mercy of the Lord can understand. Without the Lord's mercy, even the demigods headed by Lord Brahma cannot understand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to see the king accept the menial task of sweeping the streets. And for this humility, the king received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could therefore observe the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Purport. The mystery of the Lord's activities is described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Lord Jagannath was astonished to see the transcendental dancing and chanting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he stopped his car just to see the dancing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then danced in such a mystical way that he pleased Lord Jagannath. The seer and the dancer were one and the same Supreme Person, but the Lord, being one and many at the same time, was exhibiting the variegatedness of his pastimes. This is the meaning behind his mysterious exhibition. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand how both of them were enjoying each other's activities. Another mysterious exhibition was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's simultaneous presence in seven groups. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand that also. Although the king was refused an interview, he was indirectly bestowed causeless mercy. Who can understand the internal potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Purport. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was playing the part of a world teacher, he did not agree to see the king because a king is a mundane person interested in money and women. Indeed, the very name king suggests one who is always surrounded by money and women. As a sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was afraid of both money and women. The very word king is repugnant to one who is in the renounced order of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see the king, but indirectly, by the Lord's causeless mercy, the king was able to understand the Lord's mysterious activities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities were exhibited sometimes to reveal him as the Supreme Personality Godhead and sometimes to show him as a devotee. Both kinds of activities are mysterious and appreciated only by pure devotees. 62. When the two great personalities, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra, saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy upon the king, they were astonished. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes for some time in this way. He personally sang and induced his personal associates to dance. According to his need, the Lord sometimes exhibited one form, and sometimes many. This was being executed by his internal potency. Indeed, the personality of Godhead forgot himself in the course of his transcendental pastimes. But his internal potency, Lila Shakti, knowing the intentions of the Lord, made all arrangements. Purport. It is stated in the Upanishads, Prasya Shaktir Vividaya Shuyate Sobhaviki Gana Balakriyacha. The Supreme Lord has multipotencies which act so perfectly that all consciousness, strength, and activity are being directed solely by His will. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited His mystic power in presenting Himself simultaneously in each and every Sankirtan group. Most people thought that He was one, but some saw that He was many. The internal devotees could understand that the Lord, although one, was exhibiting himself as many in the different Sankirtan groups. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, he forgot himself and was simply absorbed in ecstatic bliss. However, his internal potency arranged everything perfectly. This is the difference between the internal and external potency. In the material world, the external potency, material energy, can act only after one endeavors at great length. But when the Supreme Lord desires, everything is performed automatically by the internal potency. By His will, things happen so nicely and perfectly that they appear to be carried out automatically. Sometimes the activities of the internal potency are exhibited in the material world. In fact, all the activities of the material world are actually performed by the inconceivable energies of the Lord. But so-called scientists and students of material nature are unable to understand ultimately how things are happening. They evasively conclude that everything is being done by nature, but they do not know that behind nature is the potent Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Mayadikshena prakritik suyate sa characharam hetunanena kaunteya jagad viparvartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Just as Lord Sri Krishna formerly performed the Rasalila dance and other pastimes at Vrindavan, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed uncommon activities moment after moment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing before the Rathkar could be perceived only by pure devotees. Others could not understand. Descriptions of Lord Krishna's uncommon dancing can be found in the revealed scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, purport. Lord Sri Krishna expanded himself into many forms while engaged in the Rasalila dance, and he also expanded himself when he married 16,000 wives in Dwarka. The same process was adopted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he expanded himself into seven forms to dance in each and every group of the Sankirtan party. These expansions were appreciated by pure devotees, including King Pratap Rudra. Although for reasons of external formality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see King Pratap Rudra because he was a king, King Pratap Rudra became one of the Lord's most confidential devotees by the Lord's special mercy upon him. The king could see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simultaneously present in all seven groups. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, one cannot see the expansions of the transcendental forms of the Lord unless one is a pure devotee of the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in great jubilation and inundated all the people with waves of ecstatic love. Thus Lord Jagannath mounted his car, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired all his devotees to dance in front of it.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Palladananda Swaini Tone. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaini Tone. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prayane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paschata Desha Charane.
This is a very wonderful section from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I particularly like this section. It describes how the Lord's internal energy is acting. Many people have heard the phrase before that not a single blade of grass moves without the sanction or the will of the Lord. So in this section here, it describes in finer detail exactly how this is happening. You know, so it says that Lord Chaitanya, he was so absorbed in the dancing for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath that he wasn't thinking about these things like manifesting himself in all seven Sankirtan parties. Rather, he was absorbed in the thought of how can I please Lord Jagannath? How can I dance to the best of my ability for his pleasure? And then his internal potency, Yoga Maya, knowing his desire, knowing his intention, she expanded Lord Chaitanya for him. She carried out that expansion. It was his desire to expand, but he wasn't consciously thinking, okay, now let me expand, and now I'm in one group, and now two. No, he was just simply absorbed in the ecstatic mellows of dancing for Lord Jagannath. And then his internal energy took on that service, knowing his intentions and desire, and expanded him into all seven parties. In one of the last purports here, it also mentions about the Ras dance. And also when he was expanded into the 16,108 palaces in Dwarka. The same thing. Krishna is so absorbed in his pastimes, just in such ecstatic bliss in executing these different activities, that his internal potency is taking care of all these different activities. What's really wonderful, though, is mentioned in the first purport about how King Prataparudra could understand by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He could see these wonderful exchanges, how this was all happening. He could see Lord Chaitanya in every single kirtan party. Even though within each kirtan party, the devotees there were thinking, Lord Chaitanya is only within my party. He's not dancing and chanting in any other party. He's specially favored us. But not only that, King Prataparudra, he could also see that Lord Chaitanya is ecstatically dancing for Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath is in ecstasy watching this mysterious dance of Lord Chaitanya, and how both of them are the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya is one manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Lord Jagannath is another manifestation. And so this is an extremely wonderful, mind-boggling thing to observe. Could you imagine having that level of understanding? Being able to realize that? I mean, even on a simpler level, how difficult is it for us to realize how this material world is a manifestation of Krishna? It comes from Krishna. It's non-different from Krishna. And Krishna pervades this manifestation throughout everything. How difficult is it for us to even see Krishna within the atom of all material energy? As stated in the Brahma Samhita, it says, referring to Govinda or Krishna, he is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time, such as the primeval Lord whom I adore. This is just really, really incredible. I remember hearing one lecture from Srila Prabhupada where he was referring to this very fact. Bhrigupadipu was the one who turned me on to this lecture. And it says, if you want to blow your mind, I mean, this lecture is just, it'll put you way out there. So if we just analyze this statement, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is present in his fullness in every single atom. So as we know, since Krishna, God, is absolute, that means that wherever there is God, there is also his name, his pastimes, his associates, his abode, all his expansions, everything. That's what in fullness, and that's what absolute mean. So that means that within every single atom, there is Goloka Vrindavan. There is all the cows, all the cowherd boys, all the gopis, the hills, the trees, all of us. His holy names, Lord Chaitanya's activities, everything. Everything is there in every single atom. I mean, just try to wrap your mind around that. It's just so inconceivably, you know, magnificent that just defies any comprehension. It really shows how this whole material world is so illusory. Here we think we are right here. We're so localized. We're so separate, individual. We are individual beings, unique. However, this material world is all illusory. We're not this body. We're not this thing that we think, you know, that we describe as a human being. When I tell people that we're not human, people are, oh my God, how could you say that? What are you, some sort of monster? But we're not. We're not humans. We don't belong to this material world. We're eternal spirit souls, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And we belong in the spiritual world. That's our constitutional identity. That is our dharma. Prabhupada described dharma as that which does not change. So we were eternal living entities that never change. So, to get a better idea of dharma, we can use some mundane examples. There have been examples used such as sugar. The dharma of sugar is to be sweet. If you taste sugar and it tastes salty, then it's not sugar, it's salt. Or the dharma of water is to be moist, liquid. If water is not liquid, then it's something else. Or if you put water into an abnormal state, say you freeze it, it becomes solid. Now it's known as ice, but that's an abnormal state of existence. It won't always stay as ice. As soon as you bring it to regular temperature, it'll automatically melt back into liquid. So in the same way, our dharma is to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And currently we're in an abnormal state of existence. We're thinking that we're this human being, whether male or female. We're thinking that we're separate. We're thinking that we're independent. We're thinking we have control over what we do in this life, over what experiences we have, over how much pleasure, how little pain we have. We're thinking that we're the master, that we control our fate and our destiny. That's the American doctrine. You're the master of your destiny. Everyone can have their, you know, white picket fence, make-believe reality. But this is an abnormal state of existence. It's like ice. It's a temporary state that's not our real nature. As soon as we come to our real nature, we realize that we're actually eternal spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, that belong in the eternal spiritual world. We don't belong in this world of birth and death. That's why it's called Martya Loka, or the world of death. Whenever there's birth, there's always death. But death is a foreign experience to us. We're not meant to experience death, just like we're not meant to experience birth. But somehow we've come down here to this material world by our own desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, to try to imitate his pastimes. Everyone here, they all think that they're the supreme controller and they have their goddess of fortune. And they're enjoying life here so nicely. But it's all temporary. Death is inevitable and it comes to everyone. And this life passes so quickly. It's compared to a dream. Just like every night we go to sleep, we dream. We dream so many dreams, and our dreams may seem so real. One person may be dreaming of a tiger. And they're trying to run away, yelling, "Tiger, tiger!" And then their body on the bed is just flinching and going in convulsions. But then you wake up and you realize, oh, that was just a dream. What a relief. Or so many experiences of different nightmares or different incredibly wonderful dreams you could have, enjoying so much. And then you wake up and it's all gone. All you're left with is a memory. That experience was real, but temporary. When you wake up, you remember it. It was tangible. It was just like any other memory that you had of some experience in your lifetime. But it's vapid. It's gone. You can no longer experience it, touch it, grab it, feel it. So in the same way, this whole lifetime is just like a dream. We've had so many lifetimes, birth after birth after birth. And then poof, it's gone. And then you may have been so attached to that lifetime in your next life, you remember that lifetime. Like so many examples. There's one scientist who recently passed away. His name is Dr. Ian Stevenson, worked for the University of Virginia. He documented over 1,400 case studies. Children between the ages of 2 and 5 years old having complete past life memories. And he verified their memories. He went and he went to their locations, verified this activity, that thing. Or just independently reported things. Like most recently in the media, there's this one case of this child who had memories of being a World War II fighter pilot. And he was telling his parents that this was his real name, and when he would see silhouettes of airplanes, like a shadow of the airplane on the ground, he could identify it, tell so many different things about these aircraft. He told his parents where he got shot down in his previous life. Told the name of his best friends that were on the aircraft carrier with him. And then actually somebody who was investigating this, along with the parents, they found one of his friends who was on the aircraft carrier with him. And it's just, it's really amazing. So the point is that for that child now, that previous lifetime as an aircraft fighter pilot in World War II is simply a dream. It has no more tangible reality than dreams that we have every single night. So that's why it's also so important to take up to this Krishna consciousness, because this gives you entrance into reality. Instead of living a dream, instead of always living in some temporary, illusory existence that's never really there. As soon as you try to grab a hold of it, it's gone. Like, have you ever tried to grab a handful of sand? Trying to grab sand, it all just slips through your fingers out of your hand. You can't grab it. In the same way, we can't really grab onto this material experience. As soon as we grab for it, it's gone. So in Krishna consciousness, when we grab hold of Krishna consciousness, we're actually grabbing onto reality. Real experience that's everlasting. And that's satisfying for the heart. That's fulfilling. So that's why the ability of King Prataparudra was rather wonderful. To be able to see Krishna, to see his expansions, to see their activities, to enter those pastimes with him. Into real life. That's why in the Ishopanishad in text 6 says, he who sees systematically everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. And then Krishna goes further in the Bhagavad Gita to say, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. This is the type of vision that we have to adopt. And then with this vision, we can gain entrance into activities of the spiritual world. It's mentioned in these texts that I read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the second purport. Prabhupada says that both activities of Krishna having reciprocations between his two expansions, namely Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath, and seeing how Lord Chaitanya expanded into all seven kirtan parties. He says both kinds of activities are mysterious and appreciated only by pure devotees. So to have access into these mysteries, we have to smear our eyes with the pulp of love of God. In the Brahma Samhita, it stated, Primanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santak sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govinda mari purusham tamahang bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love, and he is seen in his eternal form of Shamsundar, situated within the heart of the devotees. So at this stage, when we have this pulp of love anointed on our eyes, God, Lord Krishna, is never lost from us, nor are we ever lost from him. We'll be able to see him in all of our activities, everywhere we go and everything we do, everything we see. We can really relish these activities, these spiritual activities, just like Lord Chaitanya. He was so ecstatic in the dancing before the Rath cart, totally absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So absorbed that he just couldn't stop. His tongue just relished every single syllable of the mantra. Because the mantra, as we know, is non-different. It's absolute. It's non-different from Krishna. So when we chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we're directly tasting and experiencing God, which is incredible. And then everything we do becomes a fantastic, ecstatic, blissful experience. So Lord Chaitanya, he was just dancing in bliss and ecstasy, doing things just so wonderfully, jumping high, twirling like a firebrand, totally absorbed and lost in the dancing and chanting. And everyone who saw this dancing was stunned. They were just mesmerized by this mysterious dancing of Lord Chaitanya. So by following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, the six Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya, the predecessor acharyas, we also can come to this level of engagement. So I think I'll stop there if there's any comments or questions. Sat Sri Gaur Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice presentation. In the beginning of the lecture, there was in the purport was explained about King Prataparudra not being able to be seen by the Lord. And can you explain a little bit the apparent contradiction that him being not being able to have the darshan, being seen by the Lord, but at the same time he's one of the ones who is able to perceive the mysterious activities of the Lord? It appears like a contradiction. Can you explain that? And the second question is that since the Lord is all omniscient, sometimes someone may argue and say, how is it that he can forget himself about things? You know, when he was dancing in ecstasy and he just like throwing himself in everything that appears to be like unconscious. and then his internal energy acts. Maybe you can explain that.
I'll answer the second question first and then answer the first question last. So in that relation, in that regard, the Lord is omniscient. He always knows everything and is fully conscious and aware of everything also. However, his desire to enjoy his pastimes is greater than his desire to always exhibit his knowledge of everything that's going on. So just like a king never has to do everything to execute the functions of the kingdom. The king has his ministers have their assistants have their deputies, and so on. And so in that way, all the activities of the maintenance of the nation happen. Just like President Obama, he doesn't have direct, he doesn't directly control, micromanage everything that's happening within the executive cabinet. Rather, he gives his orders, he has his different desires and directions, and based upon those things are happening. So in the same way, but to an unlimited degree, God has infinite, Krishna has infinite servants, servitors there to assist him for however he wants to enjoy at that moment. So he has somebody to remember for him. He doesn't have to remember on his own account. You know, he has somebody to execute these different functions. You know, so in this case, Yogamaya could see that he wanted to fully enjoy this dancing before the Rathkars. So Yogamaya expanded his personality for him. You know, even though, you know, and Yogamaya did that in order to facilitate his absorption in the bliss of this dancing. But at any moment, if he wanted, he could fully recall everything just based upon his desire. It's not that he's actually forgotten, because he never forgets. So then going to your first question. The first question, it is a very fine line. See, because Krishna always does everything perfectly. Everything satisfies multiple functions at the same time. So when Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to exhibit, to manifest what it means to be a bhakta. He came to show the world how to live according to not only the rules and regulations, but also to live in the topmost level of pure love of God. So on the one hand, he was very merciful. And on the other hand, he was very strict. So as a sannyasi, he was exhibiting to the world the perfection of sannyas. He was extraordinarily strict in his sannyas. Even Chota Haridas, he was looking at a woman the wrong way, and so Lord Chaitanya banished him from his presence to set an example. And also to set an example, he refused to meet with kings. Because meeting with a king means meeting with materialistic people. And he had to draw the line and hold that line. Sannyas means renunciation. Sannyas means that you don't associate with materialistically minded people. And so in that way he refused every entreaty for the king to come and have his darshan. He flatly refused. However, as we find out later, that this king, well, as we find out here, Lord Chaitanya, he appreciated this king's devotion to such a degree that he gave the king this ecstatic vision. This king had pure love of God within his heart. This king wasn't identifying as a king. So that's why Lord Chaitanya gave him this darshan. But at the same time, he still had to uphold the formalities. But later on in the Ratha Yatra procession, after they stopped for a picnic, then the king was resting in this park on the way to the Gundicha temple. And then all of the devotees, they were conspiring to have the king meet with Lord Chaitanya. But the king had to renounce his external dress. So the king put on the garb of a Vaishnav, which he truly is a Vaishnav. Tilak, Kuntimala, Dhoti, Kurta. And he went before Lord Chaitanya, and he was massaging his legs, taking a very humble menial service. And then the king was reciting these wonderful shlokas to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, "You are the most munificent person in the world to remind me of these wonderful activities, wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna." And so in that way, King Prataparuja, he did get that darshan. However, it worked within Lord Chaitanya's external mission also of upholding the strict vows of sannyas. Because when King Prataparuja came as a Vaishnav, he wasn't coming as a king anymore. He wasn't coming with the regalia, the royal procession, the crown and the scepter and paraphernalia. He wasn't coming with all that, all the trappings of a king. He was coming humbly, with nothing, as a devotee. Is that okay? Hi. Yeah. So that's how he was able to get darshan of Lord Chaitanya. So we're out of time there. It's 8:15. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ki jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai.